Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We just love the game, and we're here for a second time this week to talk on this podcast about domestic rugby matters. If you are downloading this, listening to this, thank you very much. If you're thinking you want to hear about us talking about Ireland's famous victory at the Aviva Stadium over New Zealand, we've already done a podcast on that, and it's in this feed. So go and listen to that one. Subscribe while you're here, and find us wherever you are on social media. We are there as well. I'm Tim. That's JB.
Hello, Timothy. And And welcome to. Is it our first MWDP of the season?
I think it is. Midweek domestic podcast.
It might well be.
You're right. It's a lovely Monday evening. How was Monday at work?
Oh, very Monday-ish. Mm. Very standard Monday. You know what it's like.
I do. Mm. I know exactly what it's like. The weather was kind of just sort of, I don't know.
Did I tell you about what happened to me?
Very, very in between.
Almost indescribable,
yeah,
the weather.
Quite.
Did I tell you what happened to me 2 Mondays ago after recording the podcast?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I got hit by a car.
What?
Did I not tell you that, Tim?
Yeah, you're making me nervous that you're not monitoring the waveform. Are we definitely?
Yep.
Good. Very sorry. Fine. Shouldn't doubt your sorry.
Yeah.
Go on.
I got hit by a car. So I was cycling. This is not rugby related at all, but I mentioned my Monday. So, you know, this is what happened to me 2 Mondays ago. I was cycling to work, and then somebody out of nowhere cuts right into cycle lane. Too quickly for me to stop or to react without even looking. I hit the side of their car. I go over the bonnet.
What?
Yeah, and then my bike goes over my head and just goes straight into the middle of the road. So I then land on my hip, right? And it's bloody painful. Like, really, 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 really painful. But it's okay, it was okay because there's like five or six people must have rushed out their cars to see if I was okay. And it's quite nice because there was a lot of quite goodwill. But all I could think at that time, right, is how intensely angry that I was.
You want retribution, don't
yeah,
you?
I wanted to put my fist through that lady's window, right? through that car window so badly. I thought, if I get up and I'm the arsehole here, then all of this goodwill will dissipate.
Yeah.
And it's very much not within the spirit of the situation. So
you controlled yourself?
Yeah, I was utterly furious.
What did the woman do?
What did she do?
No, what was her reaction? Because quite often in that situation, a lot of people preemptively defend their, like, almost, what were you doing?
No.
Yeah.
You should have had 17 lights.
Yeah, why weren't you in high vis? No. Well, there's that. There's also the other thing, isn't there, which they'll do, which is, I'm just as shocked as you are. I'm like, no, you're not the victim. You're not the victim. You don't have a right to be upset. But no, I was very, very restrained. And I hurt my hip, but it was okay, because thanks to Burnage Rugby Club, we trained against them on the Tuesday night. My hip was a little bit sore. Went into contact in some opposed training. Got absolutely smashed. Landed on my hip. A little click. And it's fine.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So Burnage Rugby Club provided a chiropractor service.
Exactly right.
I'm very much like, justice is one of my core values. So I need to know what happened. Is this woman? Was anyone taking note of it? What do you do? Because if it was a car, you'd
yeah.
So this is I feel so stupid for saying this now, okay? But I really have a thing about claiming when you don't need to claim, right? Really have a thing. So I got up and I kind of assessed my own hip. I was like, it's sore, but it's okay. And the bike looks okay. So she's like, she didn't say that. People are saying, go and get the number plate, swap numbers. I'm like, no, I'm fine. So I pushed my bike, walked off. She went her own way. I was right about my hip. It's absolutely fine. Took my bike in for service. £200 worth of damage. And now I'm really, really angry. So I was angry when I came off the bike, and then I was even angrier when I paid. But actually, £200 to get hit by a car, it's probably a price worth paying. It's okay.
A price worth paying.
It's not the price worth paying.
It could have been so much worse.
You'd take that outcome.
Yes. £200. It matters not.
So it's another Owen Farrell moment.
Yes, exactly right.
You farrelled it.
I completely farrelled.
And when I tell you about Cornerstone Razors later, just remember that £200 that JB had to fork out because he was so kind to a defenceless, terrible driving woman.
Yeah.
Not that her agenda had anything to do with the fact.
Just happened to be that way.
Could have
been anyone.
Oh, God, we're going to be in a scandal now.
Could have been anyone.
Right, this is a podcast all about domestic matters. The international one, as I say, we've dealt with. We're going to talk about mainly the Premiership. Let's talk about some of the stories that have happened since last week. Stuart Hogg is going to Exeter Chiefs. As we kind of mentioned, was the rumour. It's been confirmed.
Hoggy.
Don't like it.
You don't like it?
Don't like it.
So half of me loves it because he seems like the perfect kind of personality and character type to fit in superbly at Exeter. And he is such a talent, an all-round talent. You saw in the game at the weekend, I mean, he was out for however long, 8 weeks with an ankle injury. He's played a couple of games back at international level and just looks like the best player on the park.
Yeah, I want to be clear. I don't dislike it because I don't think he's a good player. I think he's amazing. I don't like it because it feels like a departure of ways from what Exeter have done in the past. I also think if you're going to give 500,000 to someone and you've got the talent, the stable of talent that Exeter have got, you're probably best distributing that money around your squad.
Well, linking into that one then is this. Luke Cowan-Dickie has apparently rejected a new contract, as has been reported. There are other teams obviously now circling around and putting him as their top transfer target. Leicester and Harlequins rumoured to be part of that. And Rob Baxter, it's being speculated. This is all speculation in the rugby paper, by the way. Rob Baxter is having to perform a fine juggling act at being able to offer enough to retain some key players. Guys like Jack Noel, Henry Slade and Alex Hepburn have already agreed contract extensions for next season. Luke Cowan-Dickie has not.
Yeah.
Now, the Stuart Hogg money, I if it was a case of they didn't have the money because they were spending it on Stuart Hogg, I get that. But if they can't keep Luke Cowan-Dickie, it's because of the salary cap. Because
yes.
Stuart Hogg would be outside of the salary cap. Stuart McCall. Be interesting for the former Glasgow Rangers midfielder.
I don't know who that was.
To an Everton player to be talking about it.
No. I wonder what his take on this is.
Mark McCall has talked about this in the past, about it doesn't seem right that a club develops young players, they get to international level, then they can't afford to keep them.
I think it's fine. Personally, I think it's fine. You know, the whole idea of the salary cap is it spreads the talent around. And, you know, Mark McCall's wrong on that. And he's wrong on that because the point of developing your own young players is you carry on developing them. You don't develop them once and keep them forever. You know, you develop Itoje and then you develop Cruz and then you develop, you know, the next second row and then Ezekwey and whoever it is. So it isn't just a one-off thing. You carry on doing it.
No, but I guess the Mark McCall's point is their academy has been so prolific that you then can't, you can't take the fruits of your labour.
Well, I mean, Sale look at it like this, because they've got one of the best academies in the country, which is eventually their academy will get so strong that they'll be selling talent to other teams. So you know, you can look at it either way. Back to the Stuart Hogg thing, you are absolutely right that if he is outside the salary cap, that money couldn't go to those players anyway, right? But the problem is not so much that. The problem is it sets a new standard. So if Henry Slade is up for contract renewal, and you know he isn't, but you know, just let's use him as an example. He goes, well, come on, boss. I'm also an international, and judging by the going rate for him, I should be paid this. And in the past, Exeter have got guys in who fit their system.
Thomas Waldron, Dean Mum.
Yeah, I mean, these are good players, yeah. And they got better at Exeter, but Exeter made them. They didn't make Exeter.
Ollie Woodburn.
And Devoto.
Yeah.
You know, the list goes
less
on.
So Devoto, but yes.
And it goes on and on and on, right?
I wouldn't be surprised if Devoto leaves because he's not the main man. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, you've got a lot of mouths to feed there, and I'm not sure that bringing in a highly paid guy or the highest paid guy in the club is a good way to do things if you are Exeter. I mean, you could actually go and make Henry Slade your marquee player, and then you do have money to share on.
I think this is where the value of the 25 grand a game for being an England player becomes relevant, because Henry Slade and Jack Noll and Alec Hepburn, those three people that have agreed new contracts, are in the England squad. And are getting that supplementary £250,000 a year or somewhere close to it.
Luke
Cowan-Dickey is not.
Mm.
Yeah.
And now he's going to... Well, and
so he knows he's of more value because he's going to be available 22 games
He is currently injured, though.
Yeah. Yes.
And he has had a few injury problems. Mm. So perhaps he's not...
So,
yeah, it's a difficult one.
And that's the problem with the England money gamble, isn't it? If you're not fit, you don't get paid.
Yep.
Whereas you do always get paid by your club.
Yeah.
So he's got to bear that in mind. Now, he's also, you know, rolling the dice on going to a better place to give him more of a chance to be in the England setup. And as far as I can see, he's in the best situation he possibly can be. But what Mr. Fistler is saying, I can actually back up. Or I can substantiate, because I've heard of a different player going elsewhere who Leicester are interested in, who's also a hawker. So I do believe that a lot of people are sniffing around Luke Cowan-Dickey.
Jack, we just said Luke Cowan-Dickey, you meant someone else.
Yes, so I believe that there are a lot of people.
People need hookers.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is I know that Leicester are in the market for a hooker.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, actually, fair play to a friend of the pod, Nick Heath, for his question to Jamie George at the England camp.
Jamie, there can't be a lot of information out there on your opponents this weekend. Have you spent all week online looking at Japanese hookers? That's a ridiculous comment.
Very good, yeah, very good. My Google search history.
Was that Nick Heath?
Yeah.
Was it?
I assume it is. One of my gifts is I can hear voices and I know who it is. I'm the best person to go and watch an animated film with, because you know you have that thing. Who's that? I know him. I know him straight away. That is Nick Heath. Sure, that's his voice.
It just didn't sound like him to me. I'm terrible with voices.
Literally like a level one X-Man.
Yeah. Quite right.
It's a minor power, but you know, useful all the same. So, well, what were we talking about? We were talking about Hogg. So everyone's agreed with me. Not a great signing.
Well, I like it for some reason. The bit I don't. I can see that setting a new standard.
Yeah,
I can see that as a potential downside. The other side is, I mean, next season he's going to be so unavailable.
Yeah,
World Cup, Six Nations. I mean, they might get a handful of Premiership games out of him. And they're paying an enormous privilege for it.
I imagine Europe's the target.
Yeah, it'll have to be.
Mm.
And yeah, I'm just trying to think what they did with Champions Cup, Heineken Champions Cup, at the last World Cup. Start later.
So it's going to be the Premiership Rugby Cup throughout the pool stages of the rugby, and then Premiership starts. Later in the middle of October.
Right.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Or end of October.
Something like that.
But then, by end of October, you've normally had two rounds of
There was no breaks in the season. There was no weeks off.
I actually remember what happened last year, which was
there's no Autumn Internationals as well.
The first week of the season coincided with the World Cup final. I know this.
No.
Yeah, it did.
No.
Because we went to the first.
Wasn't the first week of the season.
Second?
Second or third, probably.
Third round, I think.
Because I remember I was watching the World Cup final in Bath.
Yeah, we watched Bath
Harlequins. That was weekend three.
Yeah. Ah, there you go then. Yeah, weekend three, Bath Harlequins. Harlequins, they beat
on
Bath.
On when Phil started a very cruel barracking of Dave Ward.
Poor Dave
Every
Ward.
Time he's doing his warm-up throws. Ooh, hey!
Everyone joined in. He missed. It was opposed. Warm-up line-out.
Yeah, that was bad. So, were you working this weekend, Tim?
No.
Oh, you had the whole week off?
I had the whole weekend off.
Ah.
Rare weekend off.
So, what domestic rugby did you see?
Well, I definitely saw Gloucester v... I've forgotten. Leicester.
One-way traffic.
Yeah, it really was. Worrying, isn't it? Wasps and Leicester.
Yeah.
Concerning. The Wasps situation is very worrying. There's lots of stuff off the field. There's reportedly a clause in Elliot Daly's contract that allows him to leave if the club fail to build a new training ground.
Yeah, I heard that. I mean, that's fairly odd. I'm sure I heard that a few weeks ago.
Wasps have been at their temporary training ground, temporary quote-unquote, Broad Street, since they moved to Coventry. A new deal to build something, hit the rocks. There's been talks going at Leamington. Daly could leave as a consequence
of not having the right changing rooms. It's a bit diva-ish. Now, the thing about Wasps is every time there's a player up for re-signing, it feels like they go through this rigmarole. And I do believe that they're not as happy. It's not as happy a ship as it seems. There again, look, I've been predicting the downfall of Wasps for 4 years and they keep on proving me wrong. So I'll keep my powder dry on this.
This might be the season because when I saw these teams, so the Northampton Wasps game, I would have expected, so on the face of it, both full teams, you probably expect it to be close but Wasps win. You then see the Northampton team, including in a back line, which includes the young lad Grayson, Piers Francis, Dingwall, Kellaway and Furbank, and Ollie Slightholm coming off the bench. And you think, hang on a minute, there's something not right about this. I hardly know any of those names. Wasps are going to win. Wasps are going to win this comfortably. Because while they're missing a few players, they've still got a lot of talent right across the line.
Yep.
And it was just complete one-way traffic. Northampton all over. And that back line, those players who I've named, the kind of young lads coming through, were all superb. But Naira Voro, the man mountain, the monster.
Yeah. Oh, he scored like 50-odd points for you in fantasy rugby draft this week, didn't he?
I didn't have him,
oh, no,
unfortunately.
It wasn't you, was it?
I had Ollie Thorley.
Yeah,
I got beaten literally just by Ollie Thorley.
Ollie Thorley and Nick Tompkins, those two on their own were enough to beat you.
Yeah. My pathetic 50-point
haul. I dropped Nick Tompkins a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a good pickup, that.
Damn it.
Ollie Thorley was a
hell of a pickup.
Free agent pickup.
I know.
About 2 weeks ago. And I got rid of, so Christian Wade, my first pick, who's done absolute jack all for me, got rid of him for Ollie Thorley.
Mm.
Hell of a signing. Anyway, Northampton, this was a very good win. And so this, I think, is it's a kind of signal of intent from the way that Chris Boyd wants Northampton to play.
Yes.
So those names are not what you expect, but the way they played of how you would expect a Chris Boyd side to play. They were superb.
Agreed.
It's a hell of a beat, though. 36-17.
Yeah, and it was... I think that scoreline actually flatters. They scored two late-ish tries, did Wasps.
Really?
That flatters. The scoreline flatters them.
Wow.
The other beat down Friday night, which we mentioned, Gloucester v Leicester, so that was 36-13.
That's actually worse.
And
I mean, it actually is worse.
That scoreline probably flatters Leicester. This was all Gloucester.
Oh, I don't get this. I mean, look, Leicester, the team they put out is missing people. They've got Joe Ford at 10. The halfbacks obviously aren't the first choice halfbacks.
Missing Vialu, missing George Ford, missing Ben Youngs, missing Johnny May. That's four.
Tuilagi.
Yeah, but I mean...
Tamua.
You've got still... Kyle Eastman, Gareth Owen, most of your pack.
Still got Gareth Owen.
Gareth Owen's a good player.
He's solid, but they're missing a whole international backline. Gloucester aren't.
They are missing an international backline.
Yes, they're missing a lot of players. They are missing players.
Ben White went off injured. Guy Thompson went off injured with a really, really nasty looking cut.
Yeah.
He's okay though.
Yeah.
According to his Instagram.
He'll be okay. But that you lose players that are going to take you forward. But it was, with all that said, it was a beatdown. It was comfortably Gloucester. Cipriani got all of the plaudits during the game.
He always does, doesn't he?
Because he's always really good.
He is always really good, but I understand that it can run away with itself, and
it
does.
It seemed to a little bit.
I don't know. I mean, look, he is a very talented individual who's not only talented, he's talented and puts it on display every week.
He does do things which, in a very Sam Burgess way, when Sam Burgess, oh, look at Burgess, clearing that ruck in a very regulation way. Danny Cipriani does do passes, which then, oh, what a pass.
They're all amazing. Everyone is amazing. So everyone is a tiny little gift, spiraling gift.
If the two best fly halves in the world who were playing against each other, if you'd have been talking about them in those terms, you wouldn't have been able to mention a single other player on the pitch.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, I mean, Danny. Well, I'm not going to go into why Danny Cipriani is probably the best attacking player in England, but he probably is. He probably deserves every bit of praise he gets.
He did play well.
He was excellent.
Cipriani did play well.
He was excellent.
But this was all about Ollie Thorley. Young man spent last season out injured, was a late, well, was only got his chance because Sharples is injured in this game. Mm. And what a performance. Those two tries were...
That second try was ridiculous. I mean, he is
fast. The first one was phenomenal.
The first one was amazing.
So he is fast. There's no doubt about that.
Seriously fast.
Yeah, I didn't realise how fast he was. I thought he was more of a tough, nuggety, straight up and down, running straight lines.
Yeah.
Kind of a winger. Because he seems to... I had him in my fantasy rugby draft team last season, and he seemed to just love contact.
Yeah,
like it was almost run at people because he's that tough.
So but I mean,
gassed Oluwafella. He was moving away from him
for that second try when he stepped Eastmond, and so he'd already ran 40 or 50 yards and steps Eastmond and then starts accelerating. Oh my god! And accelerated away from Oluwafella.
So my question about Ollie Thornley, he's that fast and that good scoring tries. Who will Leicester give to to Gloucester?
One of Leicester's pack?
Yeah, they've already given Gloucester their club captain.
Yeah, and best lock.
Yeah, and probably some cash as well.
Will Spencer then?
So yeah, I mean, presumably Ollie Thornley will go to Leicester and they'll give him George Ford, and Dan Cole, and you know whatever's left of that team.
Tamua.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Just a couple of players in the teams that we've already mentioned, like young guys, because you mentioned a lot of young guys for Northampton. Aaron Painter, the prop, he's the real deal.
People love him.
And Joe Hayes, the Leicester tight end as well. England have got ridiculous talents coming through at younger age groups as well. And it's nice to see a few of them who've stepped on from the Premiership Rugby Cup into this Premiership week.
And on the 20s as well. Because Thorley was part of the under-20 squad that won in 2016, I want to say.
Tell you what, you are right, you know, about Leicester losing players. I'm just looking through their team sheet here. And it's not the starting team which really strikes me. It is the bench, or more to the point, Gloucester's bench. They have got names like Ben Morgan, Callum Brealey, and Henry Trinder. Oh, and Groblaw to come on.
Yeah.
And Mostert will be there in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a good outfit. They're a very, very good outfit.
Yeah, they're now the third team.
They are
right?
Third, yep.
Well, no, I mean, they will be. That's it. It'll be Exeter, Saracens top two.
Then
Gloucester third.
Where Wasps have been for the past three seasons, probably.
I'm really worried about Wasps.
Well, they are fourth.
Yes, they are. But I'm worried about them like moving forward. Although, when you get Vili LaRue, Elliot Daly...
Launch free.
How many other people? Nathan Hughes.
Yeah, Nathan
Hughes. Nizam Carr.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Mm. Sale played Saracens?
Sale have never won in the league at Allianz. I thought this was their chance.
I thought it was their chance.
And with 10 minutes to go when they take the lead, I thought this is their chance.
Yeah, so a bit tricky for them at the moment. They've got... new fly half, which is always pretty tough. AJ is still getting surgery, or should I say still recovering from surgery. Wilkinson isn't quite ready yet, and I think he's also carrying an ox. They've just basically bought a guy over from South Africa to try and steady the ship, and that's a big ask for anyone.
Well, yeah, but another way of looking at that is, how did they not see the need for another fly half coming?
because
we mentioned that in pre-season. Yeah. You said Kieran Wilkinson, he's fine, he'll be the man.
He's got a knock as well, that's the other thing. So,
And Cam Redpath is injured.
Yeah, so...
Nevertheless, if you want to be getting the goals that Steve Diamond has been talking up, that they want to be consistently top six, pushing towards top four, eggs in the AJ McGinty basket,
well,
looks like an error.
I mean, I would say that most teams put all their eggs in their starting fly half basket. I would also say...
They all have a clear, more experienced, competent number two.
Yeah, well, I mean, they all have a clear number one. I mean, it's not...
Apart from possibly Bath.
Yeah, who don't have a number one. They've got two clear-cut twos.
And I guess now Exeter.
Yeah, that's a bit of a dogfight there. The other thing as well is the way Sale structure things. They are happy to go out and lend and loan players for 3 months.
But then you can't say, oh, it's going to take a while to bed in, and have that be an excuse.
Well, I think it is an excuse.
All right, it's an excuse that they knew was a consequence of their strategy.
Now, interestingly, do you notice that he wasn't the only guy called Dupria who was at the Saracens game?
His brother.
Jean-Luc Dupria was also
although
there.
He wasn't playing.
No, but he has now joined. So that is a cracking signing. And if it goes anything like the Van Rensburg signing, they'll have him for 3 months and they'll pick him up
for
next season. And he really is a very, very good signing.
Talk about young players as well. Joe Kapoku, another try.
Yeah. Came on minutes later, crashes over.
I'm pretty sure he scored against Sale when they came up to the AJ Bell. I've said it before, the guy's a monster. He's a genuine monster.
He's enormous, isn't he?
Yeah.
Not a bad, like, sixth-choice lock for Saracens.
I know.
And it's OG Cruz, Skelton, Ezekwe.
Ezekwe. Dominic Day is there.
Dominic Day, Kapoku.
But doesn't it go back to kind of the initial thing we were talking about with Hogg? Like, you've got to generate these kids all the time. And also, it doesn't start... I mean...
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
People that lose out the most are Ezekwe, Itoji, and Cruis. Because they might, Stelzen might turn around when Itoji wants to be the first £1 million player and say, I'm not actually that sure you're that unusual. In fact, we've got loads more.
We've got two more.
Yeah.
Each one who is 1 year younger than the last one.
Exactly.
Just coming off the production line.
Oh, God, yeah. And he's a twin. That's the other thing.
Oh, yeah.
He's a twin. Although it could go like the Sam Warburton twin, so you just got to be careful with that.
Yeah. This Saracens team... So, when I saw the Northampton team, I thought they were going to lose. When I saw the Saracens team, I thought, like, Sale have got a really good chance. So, yeah. Guys, Chris Wiles, amazing story, coming back in. But 35, not played rugby for 6-7 months, not played rugby since the Premiership final. Not been training, comes back in, does well. Max Mallin, Wollstonecraft, the hooker, Christian Judge, the tight end prop they got from Cornish Pirates. Just the names, the reserve. So they had Joe Gray, they had Thompson Stringer, they had Sasagi, whoever he is, and Whiteley as their reserve. So there's just
wow,
half a dozen names you just don't know.
Which, okay, so one question. So people who listen to this who follow a Pro 14 team, like JB with his beloved Benetton and Phil with his beloved Ulster, proud Ulsterman, some of those Pro 14 people would have heard us talking about the Pro 14 competition during these periods and what an absolute shambles it is having fixtures. And they will say, why doesn't the same rule apply? Why aren't you giving the Premiership a load of grief?
Well, maybe we should this week.
So we should do. It does affect the Pro 14 clubs disproportionately more than the average Premiership club.
There's one Scottish national, 23, and there's only two
teams,
and same with Italy.
Yeah,
three for Wales, four for Ireland, and yet
kind of 80% of the Ireland team come from Leinster anyway.
Yeah.
It does disproportionately affect Saracens. Saracens do also have injuries. But yeah, it is a fair point. I mean, I'd prefer to have international and Premiership or Pro 14 completely separate. Mm. But unfortunately, with the season as crowded as it is, you can't do it.
No, you said, Tim, that you were concerned about Wasps. How do you feel about Newcastle?
So Newcastle, there is a couple of mitigating factors in this. So Johnny Williams pulled out before the game.
The amazing Johnny Williams.
Which meant that Flood came into 12 and Tim Sweel went onto the bench. And then 9 minutes into the game, Joel Hodgson got stretchered off.
Oh, no.
So from 9 minutes in, you have got your entire decision-making core of your team, what they've trained for all week, is completely turned around.
Yes, but they are still rooted at the foot of the table.
They are, yeah. And that is excuses win for an individual game away at Quinns, which is never an easy place to go. But, yeah. But their form in Europe was sensational.
Yeah. That's remarkable, right? How many wins do you think the fifth place team have got? Seven games played.
Three.
Three wins.
Yeah.
Three wins, that's it. So
it's because Exeter and Saracens have been so dominant, seven from seven, each of them, both with six bonus points in that. And then everyone else is kind of fighting amongst themselves. Apart from Gloucester, who are probably just above, they are probably the third
team.
Only
four games won, though.
Yeah, they're just about the third team. Everyone else is in a real dogfight. And it could legitimately, I think now, from Wasps down,
yes,
it could be anyone goes down. I don't think it'll be Newcastle.
No,
think it'll be Bristol.
Or Sale. I don't think it'll be Sale.
It could be Sale.
I mean, well, it could be anyone, as we've discussed, but I don't think it's going to be Sale.
But I just don't know. I mean, it could be Leicester. It could be Worcester.
Wow.
It could be Bath. I don't think it will be Bristol.
Is because I think Sale, and this is jinxing them, they have history of being down there. They know what it takes to avoid relegation. And they've got a man who's very, very good at picking up wins when he absolutely has to in that situation, in Steve Diamond. So they'll be more comfortable in that situation than, say, a Harlequins would be.
Yeah, well,
last time they found themselves there, got relegated.
Yeah, equally. And I agree with you. But equally, let's not play down Sale's hand here. They've spent a lot of cash relative to where they have been, and he's been talking them up as it was going to be top four last year.
Well, you know.
So let's not start talking like 11th or 10th would be okay.
No, it wouldn't.
It's not.
It wouldn't be.
Diamond has to get top six.
Yeah, well, he's only one win away from top six.
Yeah. No, totally.
He's not in top six.
No, he's not.
But it's a proper bun fight, which is making it exciting and interesting.
It will make it very interesting. I think this will go right, because if anyone gets two wins, they're in their European position.
Yeah.
If Newcastle pick up two wins, they're in European
position. We're more than a third of the way through the season now?
Just less.
Seven. Just less, yeah. We are a third of the way through the season.
Yeah.
Worcester Warriors. Let's talk about them for 2 seconds, mainly because I want to talk about their hooker, Jack Singleton, who I understand has signed for Saracens this week.
For next season?
For next season, yeah.
Good signing.
Well, there's absolutely no talk of that yet. So that's, yeah, just a rumour coming from JB.
Yeah, just exactly that. It's just a rumour, but on the off chance it does come off, you heard it here first. And now, if it is the case, awesome signing for Saracens, because they're losing their massive hooker, whatever his name is, to Toulon.
Christopher Tollefer.
Who sounds like a perfect Toulon player, from everything I've seen of him. Looks like he'd fit in perfectly there.
He was Toulouse.
Yeah, and he was massive when he was at Toulouse.
His brother's Toulouse.
He came to Saracens stone. And they got him into shape, like the way they have done with Will Skelton.
So he's now going to go out of shape at Toulon.
Perfect. So that works for them. And Singleton gets to show his wares in the shop window, which is Saracens, which is absolutely great.
If that happens, that's a massive shame for Worcester. That's not...
It's not great, is it?
It'd be the number one hooker at Worcester.
Well, do you want to know something else? He might be going for a pay cut.
Wow.
Let that sink in. So
not relative to what he's on now, relative to what he's being offered, surely.
Don't know what that means.
As in, if there was...
Oh, you
it might be
like,
less than he's being offered.
Yeah, so not if Worcester have got an offer on the table, he might... I don't know that.
I can't imagine a guy that's got into the England squad is negotiating a contract lower than he's on currently.
Yeah,
because he was in the England squad.
He has been in the England squad.
I think he might be right there. He might be going for a lower amount than has been offered than he is actually on.
We have spoken about that principle before, as in the draw of Saracens.
Mm.
They might be able to pay you, I don't know, 10 grand, 20 grand less.
Yeah.
But because... You're going to win things because you're going to travel the world, do their exciting stuff because you're going to be part of the wolf pack.
You're going to jump out of a plane and get on the beers in your week off.
Yeah, be flown out to New York or Oktoberfest or wherever it is.
And it also links into the Luke Herrn-Dickey story because I know Leicester were after Singleton as well. So there you go. There's a little bit of transfer gossip for you.
He's a handy player, Singleton. Yeah.
So, you having mentioned the league table and what it's like and how congested it is at the bottom, makes every point valuable. So, Bristol,
yes,
will feel like they spurned 3 points, or were three points stolen from them?
Interesting.
Discuss.
Interesting. I would not have given it as a penalty try. Having watched it back, I think the ref was very hasty to give it as a penalty try.
So let's deal with the first try first for Exeter.
Okay.
Was there any... Because that was a bit odd.
The low try.
Yeah, the Lorday try.
Oh, that's the second try.
The second try, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
First try, fine.
Yeah.
Second try where Lorday's at the front of a mall which has collapsed.
Yeah.
Just gets up and runs over.
Yeah.
Now, just to be clear, Tom Lorday is the lad who basically was at Pirates and now is the world's greatest eight.
Well... He's playing behind that Exeter pack, so...
Yeah.
Yes. In that case.
That's him. He's a guy that's in my fantasy rugby draft team and got me 25 points. Thank you very much.
So you're not complaining too much.
I'm quite happy with that.
Yeah, he's looking good, Lorde.
But that was odd.
You don't
see many tries like that. But, yeah, the big talking point everyone's going on about is the end of the game. How did you read that one, JB?
Didn't see it.
Penalty try. Okay. Well... Can't really have a conversation then. I'll have one with Phil.
Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. So, how much of an infringement did you think? So, the Exeter Mall was well set, was trundling.
Yeah. But did it need to be a penalty try right at that second? Or could he have just let it play on and was it going to be a try anyway? Is kind of where I am. So, there was an infringement, but I just didn't feel... I'm always kind of reluctant to give a penalty try. I'd like almost prefer to see let those things play out, unless there is no way it can continue. If the ball's trapped in there, which I don't think it was when it collapsed, then yeah,
it was over the line. Was it held up?
Well, I'm not even sure if it was held up. It might have actually been down, which is why I just feel it just struck me as. Very, very early, very presumptuous to call it a penalty try, and therefore Exeter win anyway because they don't have to take the kick.
Yeah.
Whereas alternatively, they'd be kicking from the 15-metre line.
Gutted.
Which I think, well, Steenson, he's got a dead-eye nerve. they probably would have ended up winning anyway. But
he does. He'd only slotted two from four up to that point.
Yeah, look, Steenson's kicked his way from the Championship all the way to Premiership glory. Slotting 2 points against Bristol on a Sunday is, relatively easy, relatively standard fare.
He was kicking at 50% on that day.
Oh. Bristol were great once again, but what I did notice. Both the other week when I saw them in the Premiership Rugby Cup last weekend against Wasps, and this week particularly back in the Premiership, is Pat Lamb has used this period to change his game plan. I remember asking him when they got humped. I was working on the Worcester Bristol game. They got humped by Worcester, and I said to Pat Lamb after the game, "So has this made you think you need to reassess your game plan? To have a bit more balance in the game?" To which his response was, "No, the balance is built into the game plan. It's all about decision making. Everything's built into the game plan." But I wasn't convinced by that. What I have seen from Bristol in the game yesterday against Exeter is much more balance.
Taking the points a bit more often.
Taking the points and five penalty kicks and kicking territory.
Yes, not trying to run everything from everywhere. So maybe what he's saying is, that's part of the game plan. The players need to do it when that's the right decision.
Yeah.
But maybe he's just reaffirmed that at times, particularly in tough games like this, that is the right decision.
Yeah, particularly when you're going up against Exeter.
It was frustrating for Bristol because this is a game they could have won, arguably should have won, depending on some decisions. They'll never have a better chance to beat Exeter.
No.
Or certainly this season they will not have a better chance. For a few seasons, they will not have as good a chance to beat Exeter. Exeter, who are missing half a dozen plus players through injury and people in different international squads, Scotland, Wales and England. Bristol at near full strength with Pietau, who came back. So, yeah, frustrating.
John Afoa is no-look flick pass.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. He is, in physical form, what props dream that they are when they sleep.
Yep.
And a few years ago, so he's handling certainly. A few years ago, some of his running, when he was playing Super Rugby, definitely was.
Let's just fast forward to next week's games.
Okay.
Let's do Pro 14.
We haven't mentioned Bath, by the way. Yeah, had a good win against Worcester.
They did.
And Worcester, who would have been fancying that?
Yeah. Next week, it's a weird one because Bath have got Newcastle.
At Kingston Park?
At Kingston Park.
That's a big one, that.
Right, let's do Pro 14 first. Leinster Ospreys?
Who cares? Leinster. It could be anyone because it's not...
Absolute toss-up.
Still Leinster, without a whole team out.
Although Leinster conceded a lot of points to Southern Kings on the last outing.
They did, but kids out there.
Tell you what, if you want to see some hilarious teams, check out Glasgow when all their internationals are away, because they've got Cardiff.
I don't know.
Give me Glasgow.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I'll tell you who cares about the next game. Me.
Here we go. Scarlets Ulster.
And this is going to be it's no comparison, but this will be a European Cup game in a couple of weeks. At Ravenhill.
This is a warm-up.
Mm. Ooh, this is the equivalent to the games that we went to see last year. Huge.
These are all about as meaningful as the Repechage matches.
Well, you say that. You say that, Tim. Show a bit more respect, because on Saturday at 12:30, the Cheetahs are hosting my boys Treviso.
Oh, I mean, now we're talking.
Now we most certainly are.
You tempted
talking.
To go out for this one?
Do you know? I would
fly
be,
to Bloemfontein.
I would be. It's on my list of things that I'd love to go to.
Double the crowd.
I mean, we should go to a Treviso game just outside of Venice.
I know. I really want to go to a Treviso game.
Yeah.
Maybe we could do kind of April time when the weather's starting to pick up again.
That'd be nice.
There's some good Prosecco tasting near Benetton.
Is there?
Yeah.
Perfect. Next one is Connacht against Kings.
Southern Kings away.
Good. Great. Good. Thanks for going through the fixtures.
Connacht win.
Zebre Munster, anyone could win it. And then Dragons Edinburgh. I mean, that would be tight. So, Premiership. Worcester Harlequins. Now, there's a really funny run of games here, okay? So, Worcester Harlequins. I can see Worcester taking that.
I can, at home.
I think Worcester will be targeting this.
Yep, agreed.
Harlequins had a good win. Interesting, the players that Quins are losing. Obviously, Robshaw's injured, but Mike Brown played. Played on the wing.
Mm.
Marcus Smith played. Their centres.
Oh, Marlon no longer goes?
Yeah, Marlon no longer leaves. Visser, he doesn't even get in the team.
Still got Joe Marchant.
Marchant's there. So they're not.
Yeah,
losing.
They've even got like Charlie Walker and Nathan Earls there.
So Danny Kerr's got missing. Robshaw's injured. Besides that,
that's it.
Near enough a full strength team.
Because Eddie Jones doesn't currently want Boise anymore.
Boise.
Weird. yeah, even despite that, I still think the Worcester have got a downward shot of this. I think Worcester shade it by 3.
I think give me Quins, just because of all those players.
Tim?
They're not losing.
Is Duncan Weir available for them?
Yes. Unless he gets called up. So he's in the Scotland squad. He played this weekend because he wasn't selected by Scotland.
I can't see him being selected.
Will they have Josh Adams?
No.
Probably not.
I'd say probably will. Oh, I don't know.
So I think Quins will edge it.
Yeah, I think they'll have Weir, but not Josh Adams.
Newcastle, Bath.
Newcastle have got to win this.
They've got to win this.
Absolutely have to.
They have got to win this, yes. But will they win it?
Yes.
I'm not too sure. I'm going to say Bath.
Bath do lose a few players.
Falatau, Mercer, Cockenessinger.
Yules. Probably some more as well.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I can see another upset here. Wasps, Bristol.
They played each other the other week, didn't they? And Bristol beat them at the Rico.
Did they?
In the Premiership Rugby Cup.
Oh, right, okay.
But it was a relatively strong Wasps team. Well, it wasn't far from full strength. They had a few players out resting.
So these are all 1 o'clock kickoffs, aren't they? On the Saturday. Wasps do have to win this.
Give me Wasps
at home. They've got to right some of the wrongs from the weekend just gone.
Bristol by 7.
Bristol.
Wow.
I think Bristol.
I think they're going to absolutely run riot.
Don't think they're going to run riot, but I can see Bristol sneaking this just with the players that Wasps have out.
Wasps, Sopawanga has got to earn his money.
Yep.
He's 800k a year or whatever it is.
I think they're missing Nathan Hughes massively.
And yeah. So Nizam Carr didn't play at the weekend, did he?
No.
Exeter, Gloucester?
Ooh.
Exeter.
Gloucester.
So Gloucester hardly miss anyone, do they?
No. And do you know who plays fly half for them? Does anyone know who plays fly half for Gloucester?
I think it's been mentioned.
Yeah, surely it's been mentioned by someone.
Ryan Lamb. So
Ludovic Mercier.
Yes, exactly.
What other Gloucester fly halves can you name?
Okay, I'm going to say I can name five. Can anyone give me an advance on five?
Ahead of those two we've already mentioned.
Hang on. Yeah, I can give you...
Well, I'll tell you what. Go on.
Okay, I'm going to say I can give you five, excluding the guys that you've just,
okay,
just mentioned.
Okay, go on then. Can you advance?
I'm definitely not advancing that.
Go on then.
Collis Spencer.
Oh, good one.
Burns 1.
Yes.
Burns 2.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You're rolling.
Owen Williams.
He's still there. We're talking about...
Right.
We're talking about historical, aren't
we? All right.
Oh, right. Historical. Oh,
really? I assume we're talking about historical.
Well, I was going to just do Gloucester fly halves in general. And now I'm under pressure.
I've got one. Welshman.
The Welshman?
Yeah.
Oh, Nicky...
Yes.
Nicky Robinson.
Robinson.
Well, yeah, all done.
Oh, come on. One more. And we can all go home.
One more.
Billy 12 Trees. Oh, he's still there.
Well, we'll come back to that fascinating subject later. Leicester versus Saracens. At Welford Road, a game Leicester should lose, Probably means they'll probably do all right.
No, give me Saracens.
Yeah, give me Saracens.
These are two kind of threadbare squads, so it does... I mean, this should be one of the games that you want to be talking about, but it's going to be less interesting. But I think Saracens, their replacements are far better than Leicester's replacements, and the systems they have instilled mean that they'll fit in much better.
Yeah, Tim, you better be Googling Gloucester Flyhoffs there.
It's harder to find than you think.
So we've got the full list. I'm just looking through this list now.
Well, there's not a list of...
Of Flyhoffs.
Of Gloucester Flyhoffs, what?
No.
No.
So I've got
Stuart
a list
Barnes,
of...
was he Bath and Gloucester?
Don't know. Ollie Barkley.
There you go.
Fantastic stuff. Fantastic podcasting. Well done all. Right.
So I'm on a list of four Gloucester notable former players.
Yeah.
Philippe Saint-André.
Winger.
Guess what his... So this is Wikipedia, so it could be wrong. Guess what his current role is in rugby?
His current role is director of a sort of like a training base up in the Alps somewhere.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's doing... he's identifying players that have slipped through the net, isn't he? And
so he might be doing that alongside this role that is listed. So he is...
Cheesemaker?
No, he is an international team head coach.
Really?
But which international team?
Bloody hell. An international...
Russia.
No.
Just trying to think where the cash is.
So get the continent first.
Is it...
America.
No, wait.
North America.
Stop.
No.
Stop. Is it something like Indonesia or Malaysia?
So you're saying Asia is a continent?
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
So it's Africa.
Correct.
Namibia.
No, that's Phil Davis. No.
Nope.
Botswana.
No. Probably equally known for their
Kenya.
Rugby. No. Less well known than Kenya for their rugby.
Ghana?
No.
Hang on, he's French, isn't he? So let's think of the...
Democratic Republic of Congo.
No.
Uganda.
No.
Rwanda.
Morocco.
No, no.
Algeria.
Tunisia.
No, no.
Egypt. Chad.
No. Keep naming African countries.
Zimbabwe. No.
Sao Tom.
French. This is a former French colony.
Hang on. Where do all the football...
Madagascar.
Martinique.
No, no.
Ivory Coast.
No.
I've done that one.
Said.
Oh.
I've done Ghana.
Senegal.
No. I think it's very near. I think it's geographically near Ivory Coast. Not that this is going to help you particularly.
I don't know. I'm done.
No. I'm not. I'm just looking at the Africa. I'm looking at the African continent. But that's like cheating, really.
Kind of.
Nigeria.
No. Near Nigeria geographically.
Oh.
Niger, Mali, Angola, Zambia. No. Cameroon.
Oh.
Cameroon.
How's Cameroon? Really? Wow. They speak French there, don't they? Yeah.
They do, yeah. According to Wikipedia, that is. There you go.
Philippe, if you take nothing else away from our podcast, Philippe Saint-André, team manager for Cameroon. Team manager, not DOR.
He's down as head coach.
I'm like, imagine, team manager's the guy that, like, right, I've got your kit. You need to be on the bus at 2 p.m.
What Richard Hill's doing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that's the reason they brought in, what's his name? Will Carling, because he didn't have any legends of English rugby to hand.
Yeah.
Even though Richard Hill was knocking about.
And Johnny Wilkinson.
And Johnny Wilkinson. But they need more legends.
Well, maybe those two are just not legendary enough.
Exactly.
Legendary enough.
Exactly. I like the word legendy.
Legendy.
I like that.
Legendy enough. There you go.
Right,
we've done our predictions. We'll
tell you what, boys, we truly farrelled that.
Positive outcome?
Positive. Well, yeah, go with it.
Messed it up, positive outcome. It was ropey, then Philippe Saint-André
saved the day.
Oh, I've just been followed by Jack Morehouse, who plays for Sale FC.
Yeah.
Have you played against him?
He used to play for Mac, Sideshow Bob.
Yeah, yeah. bloody good player.
Speaking of legends, Philippe Saint-André, Jack Morehouse.
Yeah. Scored five tries against us once.
Really?
Yeah. Got dropped to twos and battered Broughton Park twos.
There you go.
Right. Nice one. Thanks for listening. Subscribe. We'll see you after the weekend with all the international and domestic stuff. Let the boys play.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.